I'd like to take a moment to greet our listeners who are at home or wherever and they're listening to this sermon that they have downloaded. Perhaps we could all say hello.
Hello.
Hello, everybody who's listening at home. So just to let you know that we've heard two Bible passages today. We've heard Psalm 62 and Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. And you might like to pause the recording to read those passages. So can you tell the kids have broken up?
Yes.
How noisy is it near you? There is something about this time of year that even those of us who have long left behind our school days, there is something about the summer holidays that you can feel. It's palpable. You can feel it. You can feel it in the air that the children have broken up. They're really looking forward to the long days without being told what to do, what they're learning right now. We are learning to. Those were the things that children are used to having on their smart boards every day. Every day they are. Their aims and objectives. So this is the time. They are aim and objective free. They can just be. It's a beautiful time, unless, of course, we're looking after the children. And then we're thinking, oh my goodness, when is the first week of September? This time is just a little bit too long. Summer gives us a profound truth, whether we've got children in our lives or not. It gives us the truth that God is a God of seasons, and it gives us the truth that rest is important. Whatever rest looks like to you, rest is important, and rest is part of God's design for us. We have the gift of rest. In the Gospel of Mark, in our reading that we heard, Jesus is in the middle of an exhausting ministry. People are coming and going in crowds. So much so that the text tells us they did not even have time to eat. And Jesus looks at his weary friends and says, come away by yourselves. Come to a deserted place and rest a while. I do find it interesting that Bibles have subheadings. These weren't in the original text. They have been added by editors. And so a later editor has made the decision to call this passage Jesus Feeds the 5,000 or something like that. And of course, that's the main event. It makes sense. But I wonder if we're missing something quite profound by not calling this passage Jesus Tries to Have a Rest. I wonder what we're actually missing. Because Jesus wants us to come away by ourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Jesus doesn't say, keep pushing. There is work to do. Now, you can't step down. Who else will step up? You've got to do the work. He doesn't say any of that. He says, rest. He invites them into a holiday. And holiday, of course, comes from the Old English for holy day. It is a time to set the world apart, if you can, and rest in the presence of the one who creates, who loves, who sustains. And John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist movement, he understood and valued rest. He knew the importance of pacing the soul. And yes, he travelled thousands of miles, and as the plaque says outside this church, came here, preached one of his huge numbers of sermons. Yet he advocated moments of quiet reflection, of prayer, of physical rest. John Wesley knew that we cannot pour from an empty cup. And yet society tells us that our productivity is tied to our sense of value. Like if you're in a social gathering, what's one of the first questions you ask somebody? What do you do? And I see this in my own family, the three children, they're grown up, they are working. So the eldest is a nuclear engineer. Now people know how to respond to that, and I tend to get, because you know, The middle one is in marketing, digital marketing. Most people have an understanding of what that involves. We get the value of social media these days. You know, so, digital marketing. The youngest waits tables. And people don't know what to say to that. And they kind of go, I thought she was a musician. Is that what her degree's in? So we do judge on what people do. We judge people's worth on what people do. And then if we get to the stage where we can just no longer do the heavy lifting, when for whatever reason we can't, we decide, no, actually, I'm not doing that anymore. This is not my time to do this. For whatever reason, we get that sense of guilt or shame. And it's, I don't know if it's holy. I don't think it is holy. Because time and time again in the Bible, we have the gift of rest that comes from God. I mean, I'm talking to myself. I find it impossible to rest. My brain doesn't let me rest. And when I do rest, I have a terrible sense of shame. And I really have to give myself permission to do this, divine permission. God rested. God rested on the seventh day after creation. No, it wasn't because God was tired. That's a nonsense. It was an invitation to participate in the divine rest cycle. Rest is holy. And I wonder if we just sit with that phrase, can you feel any resistance inside you to the phrase, rest is holy? Time and time again, Jesus rests. Do you remember the story of when Jesus is in a boat and there's a terrible storm? In Matthew chapter 8, and the disciples are going hither and thither around the boat trying to survive, basically, in this awful storm. And where's Jesus? Is he reefing the sails? Is he steering the boat at the right angle into the waves? He's fast asleep. He's fast asleep. He knows this is not his work to do. And then when he is woken, that is when he is able to work. And then we've got in John chapter 4, Jesus rests by a well. He sends his disciples off to go and find food after a long journey. He knows it is not his work to do. It is for the disciples to go and buy the food. But it's not just the physical rest that we see Jesus taking. He rests in prayer too. You have in Luke 5 where Jesus says, Jesus withdraws himself to lonely places to pray. It's these different types of rest that are so important. And then we get that beautiful invitation in Matthew chapter 11, which always makes me feel emotional, which is why I'm going to read it. Otherwise, I would just burst into tears when I say it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Oh. And thankfully, we don't need to buy a plane ticket or spend money to have a rest with God. We can have our summer holiday with God right where we are, because it's a state of the heart, and for some of us as well, a state of the mind. We allow ourselves permission. But a summer holiday can happen right where you are. Can happen when you sit and have a cup of tea. Have a cup of tea with God. Look out the window. What could you see when you look out of the window that can refresh your state of mind? Read that book without checking the clock. Bob outside, have a conversation with a neighbor and laugh. Have that gift of laughter. Because it's not just in cathedrals or on Holy Island where you can find a thin place, that thing that the Celtic Christians called thin places, where the divide, the kind of human divide between God and divine and the divine is very, very thin. We can feel God's presence. We can have thin places in our everyday. But it does take a little bit of intentionality, just to remember that actually God is here. We don't have to put those barriers up to the presence of God. God is here, and we can just rest in God's presence. Those small wonders that we usually hurry past. I was in Aldi yesterday, and the smell of the strawberries. And usually I would have rushed past, grab, shopping till car gone. But I just stopped and I just smelt it. Carrie turned around, where's she gone? But I was just, thank you God for that little moment of reminding me of creation and its beauty and its bounty. These small moments just to slow down and go, hello God. These little love, I like to call them little love letters from God. So while these summer weeks unfold, whether you have childcare responsibilities or not, I invite you to rest, and however that needs to look like for you, and rest in the presence of the God who is offering you a holiday, who is offering you this summer season. Don't feel anxious about what you've got to do. Take that time to be. Let's not be doers anymore. Let's be human beings, not human doers. And sit in the warmth or enjoy the cool, although it's getting a little bit close in here, isn't it now? Notice the beauty. Notice what's going on. Any little love letters from God that you can notice. And know that you are held and loved and cherished by the God who created someone. Amen.